You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
Will India implement a crypto ban? Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman today said that India needs global support for any effective regulation or ban, given such currencies are borderless. More details on this shortly. Hello and welcome back to CNBCTV18.com. This is Kanishka Sarkar and you are listening to the Top News Podcast. I'm back here with the latest on stock markets, cryptocurrencies, the healthcare sector, Sri Lanka crisis and more. First up, here's how the stock market fared on July 18th. All-round gains led the market higher and it closed over a one-month high. Both Sensex and Nifty 50 inched up over 1% each. Sensex rose 760 points to 54,520, whereas Nifty gained 229 points to finish at 16,279. HDFC Bank shares were in focus today, however, they faced selling pressure after quarterly earnings report of the country's largest lender by market value fell short of street estimates. HDFC Bank posted a 19% year-on-year increase in net profit boosted by strong loan growth as well as net interest income, but its asset quality worsened. The stock fell by more than a percent, though global brokerage Nomura retained its buy rating on the stock, but brought down its target price to 1,690 rupees per share. Other brokerages, however, are more optimistic on HDFC Bank. Credit Suisse said credit costs remain low for HDFC Bank at 1%, aiding its healthy return on assets. ICICI Securities, on the other hand, expects earnings growth of 80 to 20% for the lender, with margin improvement seen following through going forward. Aviation stocks, meanwhile, took off. Stocks of Interglobe Aviation, Jet Airways, SpiceJet, and Global Vectra gained after the prices of aviation turbine fuel, that is ATF, were slashed by 2.1% to 1.38 lakh per kiloliter. Jet fuel prices had touched 1.41 lakh rupees per liter last month after a 16% hike. Shares of IndiGo's parent company, Interglobe Aviation, rose 0.5%. Jet Airways stock jumped 1.2% during the day but closed in red, whereas SpiceJet closed more than 3% higher. Moving on, shares of FMCG companies impacted by the GST rate hike like ITC, DCM Shriram and Patanjali Foods and electrical equipment firms such as Crompton Greaves traded mixed today. So the government has imposed a 5% GST on consumer goods that are pre-packed, branded and labelled. Products in this list include packed paneer, honey, curd, lassi, wheat, rice and other grains that were earlier exempted from GST. Besides, the center has proposed to implement 18% GST on Tetra packs from 12% earlier. Moreover, the rate on LED lamps, lights and fixtures too will be at 18%, up from 12% earlier. So the shares of FMCG major ITC, which owns popular flour brand Ashirvad, and Patanjali Foods, which offers a variety of consumer goods, these two traded higher, whereas those of Dabur India, which is popular for its honey, were flat. The stock of DCM Shriram, which makes sugar and jaggery, was down over a percent, while Havells India stock retained its spot in the green territory. Crompton's fell over a percent. Now moving on to the healthcare sector. Healthcare in the country has turned more expensive as the government has started charging a 5% GST on all non-ICU hospital rooms that cost more than 5,000 rupees a day. The step will pinch patients' pockets as Indians depend heavily on private healthcare, which is one of the highest out-of-pocket expenditures they make. At present, 29% of the total current healthcare expenditure in the country is towards private hospitals, while only 17% is towards government hospitals. Now, let me explain to you how much you'll need to pay for a non-ICU hospital room. If a room costs 5,000 rupees, the patient will pay 5% GST per day on the rent, which equals to 250 rupees. Similarly, if the patient is admitted for 2 days, they'll pay 500 rupees GST, while 4 days will mean a GST of 1000 rupees. Hospitals that are already facing high operating costs due to inflation and COVID protocols will see their costs rise further. They've complained about input tax credit not being implemented along with this step. Well, despite complaints from various quarters, the government has decided to go ahead with the GST decision. The rationale as per the government is that if a patient can afford a room worth 5,000 rupees, they can afford to pay GST as well. Experts fear this might pave way for more tax on healthcare and related services that have remained largely exempt from GST until now. In a political update, the monsoon session of parliament began today, with opposition looking to corner the government on a range of issues including Agnipath scheme, unemployment, inflation and others. The presidential polls were also underway, witnessing a fight between National Democratic Alliance candidate Draupadi Murmu and opposition's Yashwant Sinha. The result will be declared on July 21st. Next up, here's what I mentioned about cryptocurrency earlier. In a written response to a question in the Lok Sabha, Union Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman has said that Reserve Bank of India has expressed concern over the adverse effect of cryptocurrencies on the economy and recommended prohibiting them by framing regulations. The government, however, says there's a need for a global collaboration for any effective regulation or ban given the borderless nature of these currencies. According to Sitharaman, RBI said that cryptocurrencies couldn't be considered a currency because every modern currency needs to be issued by either a central bank or government. Moreover, the value of cryptos rests solely on the speculations and expectations of higher returns that are not well anchored. Lastly, here's the latest on the Sri Lanka crisis. Sri Lanka's acting president, Ranil Wickremesinghe, has declared a state of emergency again in the country ahead of the July 20th election for the post of president, which fell vacant after Gotabaya Rajapaksa's resignation following the popular public uprising against him. Sri Lanka's leaders have imposed a state of emergency several times since April, when public protests took hold against the government's handling of a deepening economic crisis and a persistent shortage of essentials. The specific legal provisions of the latest emergency are yet to be announced by the government, but previous emergency regulations have been used to deploy military to arrest and detain people, search private property, and dampen public protests. With that, we end this podcast, but before I sign out, here's an opportunity where we will listen to you. In case you have any queries or suggestions, please write to us at cnbctv18podcast@nw18.com. I'll be back tomorrow evening with the top stories from around the world. Till then, stay tuned to cnbctv18.com for all the latest updates. Thank you for listening.